50 years ago. Can you believe it? The Beatles were taking over America. Beatlemania was in full swing. I think the Fab Four had something like five records in the top 10 in the summer of 64. Can't Buy Me Love, Twist and Shout, She Loves You, Please Please Me, and that record, I Want to Hold Your Hand. And in the thick of it all, interviewing John Paul, George, and Ringo, hosting concerts and playing their hits.
Was the thickest of them all.
The thickest of them all, and you know the voice, Clark Weber. Good to see you as always, Clark.
Hi, you too. Clark.
Good afternoon. Nice to be back in the big studio here on Michigan Avenue.
50 years ago, you were really sort of the leading edge of Beatlemania for kids in Chicago because you were tied to them closely because, quite frankly, it was good for your ratings, wasn't it?
Exactly. August 20th, 1965 was the Beatle concert at Comiskey Park. 33,000 screaming girls. Someone said, what did they pay for tickets back in those days? $250, $350, and $450.
Wow.
That's what it
And you're not talking hundreds.
No.
Yeah.
Pure bucks.
There's a picture in Clark's book, Clark Weber's Rock and Roll Radio, The Fun Years, 1955 to 1975, and there's a photo of Clark who emceed, and he's just standing off stage while the Beatles are performing, and I think, yes, Dex Card is in that picture, too, and we'll take a picture of the picture and post it on our Facebook page.
That. By the way, while I was in the green room with Chris Kennedy, the book was sitting there. He said, what's this? I said, oh, this is my book. So I opened it up to the Beatle page. And Chris Kennedy says, who's the blonde?
And, yeah, there's a very attractive woman standing next to Clark. Yes.
My wife hated her, by the way.
Who was that?
Her name was Edwina Rast. We called her Winky the Weather Bunny on WLS.
Wasn't there some story involving her and George Harrison, or
yes,
do I have that
was.
Mixed up
yes,
with somebody
no,
else?
No, that's right. Harrison put the move on her, and she said she had to go to a modeling audition, and she got up and left. Harrison was honked off at me. He thought I had, you know,
told her to get away.
That's right. Bad karma
really?
There. Yes.
What did he say?
And well, in the picture in the book, you take a look at the picture, and George Harrison is giving her a dirty look.
That's right. We've got to post this picture. That's very funny. Did you have any kind of personal contact with any of the four?
Yeah, we had lunch at the Saddle and Cycle Club on Lakeshore Drive, and made nice with them. You know, they were four 18-year-old kids that were overwhelmed with a lot of fame. And then that evening, we went out and did the concert at Comiskey Park.
Yeah, so, I think they had been in Chicago one other time, I think, on the first tour at the amphitheater.
Correct.
In 64, right?
Yes.
What
yeah.
was that like? What was going out to lunch with them like? 18-year-old kids?
It was very low-key, Mary. They were kind of relieved by the fact that they were out of the mainstream and they could just take a deep breath and enjoy a meal. And they were like four kids from Ham and Gary. They were overwhelmed with their fame. They were a little off the wall, but understandable. I think anyone who was propelled into that kind of fame, coming from their background, that was a momentous jump for them in society.
I remember in early 64, or actually late 63, when all of this started, you and other jocks at the Big 89 in those days would have an interview, transatlantic phone call, they call it back then, with John, Paul, George, or Ringo. You were playing the music. Later on, Brian Epstein, any of the people connected with the Beatles, did they realize how much that radio station at that time did to help Beatlemania in this country?
Oh, that's, as a matter of fact, that's why we were invited to do the concert. It was Capitol Records' way of paying us back because we were at the forefront of playing the Beatle music, which incidentally, when it first came out, it stunk.
Okay, what do you mean that? I want to know, like, how did you feel about it when you first heard it? Because it was so different.
Well, wait a minute. How old were you at that time, Clark?
Well, I would have been 35.
Yeah, okay.
I was the program director at WLS. But when it was first, when the Beatles were first released, when VJ Records released that song, it was bad, and I said so. And
what do you mean by bad?
Well, musically, it was flat. It didn't have anything. It didn't grab you. It didn't have hit written on it. And when Dick Biondi played it the first time, the rest of us played it over the weekend, and it was only on the air weekend play. And I played it, and I poo-pooed it because I didn't hear hit. Then when Capitol bought it, they remixed it and remastered it. They say they didn't, but they did. And suddenly the song had a great deal of pizzazz to it, if you will.
Yeah, Biondi must feel pretty proud of himself for, you know, recognizing
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
We're talking about VJ Records, a local record company, and they had the Beatles on their label at first. And I'm always confused about the first one played. Of course, I Want to Hold Your Hand is the one everybody remembers, but that wasn't the first one played. And as you say, Clark, when they first were played on radio here and elsewhere, nobody really paid much attention. Love Me Do, Please Please Me, those were the first records,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And they got them by default. VJ Records bought a record by Frank Ifield called I Remember You. Which he sang in a high falsetto. And to sweeten the pot, they said, if you buy Ifield, we'll give you this foursome, these four kids, as a bonus. So that's how that Beatle record came about. And after the Frank Ifield record fell off, then VJ came to us and said, look, we've got these four kids, this bonus record. What the heck are we going to do? Will you play it? And that's how it all started.
Do you think that people recognized it, not you, obviously, but other people recognized it as a hit when it was on VJ Records?
No, I don't.
Nobody did.
No one did until Capitol got a hold of it. That's when it came alive. Sure.
By the way, if you'd like to call up and request your favorite Beatles tune today.
That's right.
Or just talk to Clark, 312-981-7200 is our number.
We'll give you a free silver dollar survey.
312-981-7200. And after a break, we're going to get somebody on the phone.
We won't tell them because we have to get special permission to
surprise.
Get this guy out of a rubber room.
It'll be a surprise, and you'll recognize the voice, though, too. Clark, bring us up to date on what you're doing these days.
I'm in jail at the present time.
thanks for the work release program.
That's right.
To get you.
Oh,
here.
I'm still on the speaker circuit and still giving talks on how to be an oldie and a goodie, the art of aging and retirement living, and dealing with the fastest growing population in the country, those over 65,
who have all the money.
That's right. Thank you.
And when you say dealing with them, you mean?
I talk about lifestyles and choices they have to make, some that they don't want to make, and we talk about the similarities of aging, because I'm so old they can look at me and say, oh my God, if he can make it, we can too.
By the way,
look so awesome. You look so great. Look, what you're wearing today, you look like a young guy.
Thank you. But when I walk down the sidewalk, women say to me, may I help you, sir?
For the record, Love Me Do was released in the United Kingdom in 1962, and I guess you could say that was their first hit.
That was the first one, yes.
Yeah, but then the records that were released here, and doesn't Biondi tell the story about playing the record when he went to Los Angeles as well, and nobody else was playing it, and people called in and said,
could be.
We don't want to hear the Beatles, so it really didn't happen until, I guess, winter of 1964. You want to take some calls?
Sure, why not?
Find
Absolutely.
Out what people want to ask Clark Weber. All right, let's hear from John. Hey, John, what's happening?
Let's see, two things. Song request, Lady Madonna.
Yeah, we'll get that on for you.
Oh, yeah, right away.
And the other thing, Clark, I work with Grayline Sightseeing, and I think this jockey worked with you. Del Clark.
Oh, yeah, he was a staff announcer, wasn't he?
That's right. He was a staff announcer, Del Clark, absolutely. And he was living in a hotel here in town, and the hotel burned down, and I gave him my call list of all of the advertising agencies to call on for freelance voice. I remember that.
He did commercial work.
Yeah.
He was an NBC announcer,
had
too.
A great set of pipes.
Thanks.
Wore resonant underwear. People don't know that.
No, I never knew that. Yeah. Hi, Angie. You're on with Clark Weber.
Hi, I just wanted to say it's a privilege to be able to talk to Mother Weber's oldest son.
Thank you. Thank you.
Everybody remembers.
I do remember, and I was there back in the day, and thanks, and nice to hear you.
My pleasure. Thank you for listening back then and, more importantly, today.
You know, Clark, I know you get this all the time. What surprises you most about what people say to you now and the reaction you still get after all these years?
Some of the things, some of the little things that I did then that meant very little to me had a tremendous impact. And you've come across the same situation. Years later, someone walks up to you and says, "You don't remember me, but you did such and such." And it may have been a very minor thing, but to them it was momentous, and it helped propel them into a career, and that's very gratifying.
Hi, Dave. Say hi to Clark.
Hi, Clark.
Yes, sir.
I got a question for you.
Yes.
You said that when you first heard the Beatles, you didn't think they were going to be superstars or whatever.
Correct.
Was there anybody that the first time you heard them, you thought this is going to be something big, and it took a long time, a lot longer than you thought, to get going?
Oh, boy, that's a tough question. There were records that I heard that I knew they were going to be hits, and then there were other records. There was a record that came out in 1961. It hit the R&B charts in the top 10, and then the Animals came out with it in 1966, and then VJ released the record again in 1968, and I put it on the ALS playlist, and it was a thing called Boom 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 by John Lee Hooker. Remember that?
And not a giant hit.
No.
Bluesy song.
Exactly. Yeah.
A bit eclectic and esoteric for your time at the Big 89, wasn't it, Clark?
It was.
Not the Black Eyed Peas?
No, we didn't play Black Eyed Peas. No.
Hi, Dwayne. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Welcome.
You there?
Yes, sir. I am I'm not all here, but I'm here.
You know, Clark, I grew up listening to you. I followed you to all the radio stations. I even followed you to Plow Incorporated when you were at WJJD.
No, you've got me confused with Del Clark now.
Yeah, Clark actually, now Clark came from Milwaukee. He did work at WIND after WCFL and WLS, of course. Would you like to hear Clark on more, Dwayne?
I would. I would like to hear Clark on more. I'd like to hear him do some of those old songs. You know, maybe do a radio show once a week like Casey Kasem used to do.
Poor old Casey. Yes.
Oh, I know. Isn't that horrible?
Did you know him at all? Did you ever run into him, Clark?
I met him twice, as a matter of fact, both times through ABC here in Chicago.
Did you know his wife? Did she throw meat at you?
No, but I think she used to do it. No, that was enough. I'll be careful, otherwise I'll get sued here.
Yeah. Don't give him a line like that.
Yeah, that's right. I could walk right into that.
But he was.
She had a great act, by the way. She came out on her hands and knees and would try to stand up, and the audience went crazy.
Clark Weber with us. And after a break, a surprise guest will join us. Stay where you are. Here's a record released 50 years ago that nobody cared about.
Last night I said these words to my.
Please Please Me. Clark Weber had it on the WLS playlist, and nobody liked it, and nothing happened, right, Clark?
We took it off after about 2 weeks. We only played it on the weekends, by the way, and then we took it off. And a few weeks later, VJ came back and said, "Look, we need some help. Would you play it again?" So we played it for two more weekends, and then he lost the rights to it, and then Capitol bought it, and the rest is history. Yes.
And did this did not sound like it's sounding now?
It sounded pretty flat.
Now it sounds great, and it was the first U.S. Record released by the Beatles 50 years ago, and Clark Weber with us, along with a special guest.
Return with us now to the thrilling days of yesteryear, when rock and roll was clean and the Chicago River was dirty. Let us take you now to a rubber room at the Radio Announcers Home for the Bland in Baltimore, Maryland, where we hear the chronic croaking voice of Ron Reilly.
Oh, gee. I don't believe it. It's been five decades and you're still fooling them.
How can you say that, Ronaldo?
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
After all we've meant to each other.
Clark, on the way home, be sure to stop off at Hard Rock and awaken all those people you put to sleep last night, will you?
It never changes. It never ends. Ron Reilly with us. Ron, do you believe Clark still goes right into the old shtick?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hi, Bob. How are you doing, Gary? Good to talk.
Well, you know, the funny part about it is that all started as a gag. And Ron and I were working at opposing radio stations in Milwaukee. And Ron got a little looped one night, and I went on the air and criticized him the next day. Then he went on the air and criticized me.
And it was contrived
sure
to get
was.
More listeners in the morning and more at night, wasn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. That was
yeah.
Good.
We kind of took that back to Chicago with us and banged it around. And as Clark was talking about just a few minutes ago, it's amazing how much people remember. Even out here, I'm on the East Coast for 40 years now, 30 years now, and every so often somebody will come out of the crowd because they've seen me on TV, and they'll come in and say, "You're the same guy who worked in Chicago, huh? I remember when you and Clark did so and so and so." So and I said, my brain's getting fuzzy. I don't remember that, but thanks for the memory.
Yeah, they do. They do remember those.
You know what's great about both of you guys? You sound just like you did in the 60s, forever youthful.
Hey, Ron, it's Marianne. What are you doing on the East Coast?
Whoa, I'm right now? Well, I got out of radio at the end of the 80s, and I worked into television weather, finally, and worked about three stations in Baltimore. And then the last 15 years, I was working at ABC 7 in Washington doing the same thing, and retired 2009, and I'm still working for ABC 7, but doing radio reports from home, radio weather reports from home, on a part-time basis for WTOP, which is a big news station in the District of Columbia.
Now, I got to tell you something about Riley being a weatherman. I have difficulty getting my hands wrapped around that, because when I knew Riley, he thought a warm front was a 38C.
Clark, you're so low-tech, you think Viagra is something you use on the hard drive of your computer.
I hope so.
Here's a call for both of you guys. Rick, you're on with Clark Weber and Ron Riley. Go ahead.
Hey, back in the 60s, Ron, I think you were the instigator of this. I don't remember the exact year, but you had a pumpkin carving contest on Halloween and said whoever could carve the pumpkin that looked most like Clark Weber, you would take to the top of the building you were broadcasting out of and throw it out the window.
That's exactly right. We had old Bruce Lovely out there kind of doing a heave-ho off. We had all the sound effects to go with it of the screaming right. Weber flying down to the street level and kerplop.
So you still remember that, huh?
People, I do remember it, yeah.
People that got was into this. One. Yes, people,
yeah, like
they believed it.
Thanks.
I think 63 you guys did that.
Thanks, yes. Rick. Good memory. Yes. Appreciate the
all
call.
Right. One time I landed my plane at Peoria. I was doing a big benefit appearance. I bounced the plane on the landing at the Peoria airport, and the tower said, "Wait till Riley hears about this."
And I did.
So you were flying yourself around?
Yes, yes.
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Wow. Did you fly over here today?
No, I did not. No,
did you hear Riley? It was on a broomstick.
That particular appearance, by the way, there were 2,500 people in Peoria. They introduced me at the opening set, and with that, two cops walked out onto the stage and said, "You're Clark Weber?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "You're under arrest." I said, "For what?" He said, "Impersonating an entertainer."
that was a lot of fun. It's hard to remember, hard to forget and understand how people can remember all the things that we did in those days. And it's kind of refreshing for us to hear about it and know at that time something we really didn't realize. We were running around with our hair on fire. We had no idea that people would remember us, in our latter years.
50 years
isn't
later.
Isn't it great? Let's play a little clip. This is something you guys did for Armed Forces Radio. How often did you record something for them?
Only once, and it was huge.
What happened was everything was on tape then, and the station was going half broke, sending all the tape over to the Armed Forces who were over requesting it from Vietnam. So they decided to do a record, and they scheduled it, of course, at an off time at 7 o'clock in the morning, and Weber and I were both there at LS to record it, and it was a matter of who beat whom to the same one-liner.
You know what? Why don't we do this? We'll take a break. If you guys can stick around for a few minutes,
we'll
get you caught up on the news. We'll come back. We'll play a little bit of that Armed Forces Radio audio, and then take a few more calls for Clark Weber and Ron Riley at 312-981-7200. What year is this anyway?
In England, the time is now 2 a.m. A fog is in the air, and London is asleep. In the United States, the time is 8 p.m., Ron Riley is on the air, and Chicago is asleep.
Sir Ronald Riley, Esquire, presents the British Billboard.
boy, he really knows how to hurt a guy. We're going to start off with record number six. Last week we managed to play all the top six records, I think, in England, and we slithered down and picked up a couple of the specials, and we possibly will do that this week if we have chance here, huh? Last week's record 13 this week has moved all the way up to number six, and I'm happy to say it's been released in the United States. Finally, they weren't going to at first, but they decided to, and it's the title tune from the motion picture in which these guys star, along with Cilla Black. I'm talking about Jerry and the Pacemakers, and I think the greatest sound yet by Jerry, The Ferry Across the Mersey.
How about that? People are looking at their radio now thinking, what happened? Is this the Twilight Zone? 50 years ago, the British invasion, and Clark Weber and Ron Reilly with us to reminisce about it. Ron, how'd that sound to you?
Oh, brother. I got a smile on my face. It was pretty strange. I don't think that's what I heard. That was Ray Van Steen on there, who was our production director, by the way, doing the British voice, so to speak. That was wild. We did that show Sunday nights, Bob. That was a pre-tape show, and we did it every Sunday night, just a rundown of all the British tunes. So it was the British Billboard, and it was there, and timely.
And Clark, do I have this right? Were you Ron's boss at that time?
Yes, and he used to tell the audience, you know, boss spell backwards is double S-O-B.
You beat me to that one. I was going to say the same thing.
He was bad. But I will say this about Ron, and this is an honest opinion.
Reading your notes.
He's
got notes.
He had an animal magnetism about him, which accounted for all the dogs that used to hang out around the radio station.
It just doesn't end. Clark was on in the morning. Ron was on in the evening. And we're reminiscing about Beatlemania 50 years ago. First Beatle concert in Chicago. 50 years ago, and you guys were playing the records, doing the interviews, doing the special shows. Did you think it was a passing fad?
Well, like Clark, I think the first time I played a record by the Beatles was Love Me Do, and I was at WHK in Cleveland then at that time. Nobody paid attention to me or the record at the time, and then I got over to Chicago, and by that time, I think the VJ records were out, and everybody was beginning to play them. That was in early 64.
Right, and we have a clip now of a bit of the show you guys did for our fighting soldiers in Vietnam, an Armed Forces radio special, and of course anybody, not just from Chicago, but from the Midwest and other parts, picked up that 50,000-watt booming signal of the Big 89, and they loved hearing these guys, and here's a little bit of what that sounded like back in the day on Armed Forces Radio.
Hey, man, K Pasa. Ron Reilly's my name. I'm from WLS Radio Chicago. I thought we'd do an oldies show here for you. And I brought along in my left-hand corner here one of the biggest oldies I know, Clark.
Incidentally, this program is not being sent to the VC overseas. I want that known here and now. Ringo, Ron Reilly, you're with us again.
Clark.
In body, Parker. But not in mind, unfortunately.
Oh, and here's a little bit of that old jingle. Lakeshore Drive.
Northside. Westside. Southside. My hometown, baby.
GN.
Well, when I wrote my book, I had to go to the publishers of this music to get the rights to have that included in the book. And Anita Kerr owned the rights to those jingles. And I tracked her down in Holland, and I told her what I was doing. She remembered me, and I asked her permission to use the jingles, and she said, on one condition. I said, what's that? She said, that you send me a copy of the book.
How about that? Well, people remember the jingles as much as the music. And, Ron, what kind of reaction did you get? I imagine years later you would hear from folks who served in Vietnam and other parts who listened to those shows.
Yeah, Bob, you know, and Marianne, one of the most gratifying things was some of the return mail we got from the guys overseas. And I remember one fellow sent me a letter and told me that he received the Batman sticker and all of that he requested, and then he sent me a picture, and there was a tank out. I'm talking about in the Vietnam War, a tank with a Ron Reilly bumpers, Batman Club bumper sticker on the back of it. And it wasn't funny. I just my tears welled up when I saw that.
Ron, how much do you miss those good old days?
I miss Chicago. Everything about the city, that's my home. I was born not too far from Cubs Park, actually. And I enjoy the city a lot. I get back when I can. I try to avoid Weber, but he always wants to have lunch. So what are you going to do?
Well, you buy. Yeah.
Well, I don't know about you, Ron, since you're in Baltimore, but Clark's here, and he can answer some of these calls off the air because we'd be here all day and all night. Somebody called up who worked with Clark at WRIT in Milwaukee.
Oh, my
gosh. Folks who want to talk about Dave Clark Five concerts and all sorts of things. And
yeah.
I guess in closing, I'll just say to both of you guys, since all of the callers don't have a chance to do this and the listeners don't, we are endlessly grateful for not only the hours of entertainment you gave all of us, but for those of us who got into this business, you kind of showed us the way, and we were able to copy true entertainers. So thanks for all that.
Well, Bob, I hear good things about you and Marianne there at WGN. And good luck to you, and congratulations on being such a winner for so long in a beautiful city.
Yes, and I would like to thank the medical authorities at the radio announcer's home for the bland the distemper shot took.
He can't let a beautiful moment sit there, can he, Ron?
No. He's going back to the home for the rude, and that's where he belongs.
Clark Weber, Ron Riley, all.